You're more than just a real estate agent working for a commission. I have too much love for people. You know what? If it's not right, I don't do it.
Hello. Hello again, everyone. It's Kaz Bielan, and you're watching or listening to Casual Conversations in audio and video format everywhere around the world. This is the place where we talk to people who are very important to our world. And today, our very special guest returns is Joe Peters, the famous real estate guru guy specialist. Some people call you Mr. Hyper Local here in New Jersey. Is that true?
Well, most people don't know what that means. When you look at the what you see on the news is for the whole country. When they negative news sells, so they're going to tell you the negative stuff. So you hear about real estate being in whatever, and they mention that the prices are dropping or whatever. Well, maybe it's somewhere in this country. They're right, not locally. Hyper local means I only do 100 in Somerset County and the areas that surround it. I don't do Miami or Seattle or San Diego, which is what they're talking about. And then the second thing to keep in mind is we're a resale market. We don't do a lot of new construction. You go down to Texas or Florida, you're going to find that 60, 70% is new construction. We're not doing new construction in New Jersey. If we do, it's up in a million plus category. So hyperlocal means I'm focused.
Right, we are very focused here on Casual Conversations. You know that, right?
Well, your info was so good as to my description. I want to get my own signature reform.
Write it down. Got to watch the replay and see what I actually said, because it sounded good in my head at the time. So I guess it went well. So speaking of, we're just a podcast, but we watch television. If people still watch a lot of television, they see a lot of bad garbage about real estate. It's crashing. The rates are horrible. I don't know if I can afford a house. I don't know if ever. What is the real story, Joe?
Well, it depends whether you're a buyer or a seller. There's literally two markets. I'm more of a seller's agent. Part of that is because there's not a lot of buyer activity going on right now. But secondly, the more mature, experienced seller agents are helping sellers get their house on the market and finding the right buyers for them. Sometimes I do bring my own buyer. What we're seeing are two different effects that wind up with the same result. One is that interest rates, because the Fed has let go of trying to curtail interest rates, they've gotten higher over the last 6 months. What used to be down in the 3% bracket is now up in the 7% bracket. And there's an easy way to figure it out. You can just take the 10-year rate, which is today about 4.2, and you add 2.7 to that. That's the money that people make in the middle on mortgages. And you're going to come up with the current 7.1, 6.9 rate that you're seeing. That's what's happening. Interest rates have more than doubled. And the biggest portion of your payment is interest. Now, the second thing is prices have, I wouldn't say doubled, but they're up 50% at least over the last 4 years. We had a 12% increase, an 18% increase, a 9% increase. Last year, we had an 11% increase. And this year, they're forecasting maybe 4 or 5. So prices aren't going down. They're going up. And rates have gone way up. And they're hoping that they'll come back down. But time will tell. I am not confident that the Fed is going to do anything before Election Day because they don't want to look political. But I think there's a lot of pressure on them to make things look a lot better, too. So time will tell.
Well, I mean, so you're a first-time home buyer, you know, you got married, you have a dream of owning a home, and suddenly hit with these massive interest rates, which I remember when they were around 10%, but houses were 150, 200,000, but you were making less, of course, so I guess you got to calculate all that in there, but, you know, now you got more expenses with cell phone bills, internet, you know, other payments and other, you know, some people might go out and buy a house maybe to buy it for too much because they don't realize there's all these other payments like insurance and care and maintenance and groundskeeping. Like, how do they decide like what's right for them?
We call it mortgage people holding their feet to the fire, so to speak. It's an affordability index. And what we used to do is say you could spend up to 28% of your gross income. If it's one person, it's one gross. If it's two, they add it together. So let's say you've got two people that are 3 or 4 years out of college to save enough money, and they're now going, and they're probably both, one's probably earning high five figures, the other one maybe low to mid to upper figures. So probably the average salary for a first-time buyer is in the $75,000, and you may have $150,000 if there's two of you working. They take that gross, and they used to say 28% of it is all you can afford on a mortgage payment. That's mortgage, interest, principal, and homeowners, if there's homeowners in it. There's still other things like insurance and whatever, but that they've now found ways to take that 28%. And to answer your other part of the question, they used a 36% ratio for all of your debt. So if you had student debt, you had a credit card or two, you had a car payment, the total had to be 36%. They've gotten it to today where your total indebtedness could be on just a house up in a 45% bracket, which is dangerous in my mind. It's a good way of thinking if you're looking forward, because you're probably going to earn more next year and the house is going to be worth more next year. And eventually you could even take some money out of it by refinancing it. But you need additional money besides what you're putting into the house and your credit cards to fund your 401k, to put away money for a rainy day, to go on a vacation. That's not in those percentages. So if you think about it, out of 100% that you gross, you probably take home 2/3, and you're going to spend 45% on the house. That doesn't leave you a lot of money. And I think what we're starting to see are people are house rich and lifestyle poor. They're not doing the things. And I'll show you a great example of it. My daughter, obviously a generation younger than I am, goes out to dinner a lot more than I do. And she says, Dad, the restaurants are not full the way they used to be. I said, that's because of this factor. People have a lot less discretionary income to spend, and they're not spending it on restaurants. They're not spending it on vacations, and they're not spending it. Another factor coming in is high interest on credit cards. If you get into that credit card debt, you're paying 25 to 30% interest. That's just lost money. So there's only so much you can spend on a house. Now, sometimes mom and dad help you. We've had this syndrome where they've lived at home or one of the parents for the first 3 or 4 years to save money. Mom and dad get sick of you, lend you some money to get you out of the house. You can blend that in as well.
Yeah, I know. But also, you know, you got to add to that, you know, going to a restaurant isn't that cheap either. I mean, you go, you order two dinners and, you know, desserts. Most people, they push that on you, a couple of drinks, and you're like over $100, $150 for two. You're like, you know, add tip, and that's expensive to go out. Like, you know, movies are expensive, everything. So it's a tough calculation for people to do that. And, you know, they get into mortgage, you know, and then suddenly they realize.
Well, right. Even the current president says, you know, and the sizes are getting smaller. If you go to the grocery store, you used to get two gallons of half gallon of ice cream. Now it's 3/4 of a gallon. It's still the same price. We used to get a 4-ounce bag of potato chips. Now it's 3 ounces. So you're getting less for the same price, or you're paying proportionately more. I think we're in a squeeze. And I think the only way out of this is that we will eventually get the interest rates to come back down. I don't see the prices coming back down because it's a supply and demand. Now, how do we base supply and demand? We talk about something called days on market. How long does it take to sell a house? And definition, days on market means if I am selling a house in an average of 180 days, which is 6 months, That's the high end of normal. Well, then, in effect, if I didn't list any more houses in 180 days, we'd sell all houses that are on the market. That's days on market. It's just like having a distribution center. If you shut the input door, eventually everything goes out the output and there's nothing. So what's happening is things are selling so quickly, even though we have less inventory and higher interest, that days on market have dropped from 4 to 6, which is average, down to about 1.25 months in Somerset County, 1.5 months in Hunterdon County. So we're getting this velocity factor coming into place where we're selling almost as many houses as we sold a year ago with less inventory because we're selling them quicker. And people are a little chagrined by what used to cost. The first time buyer typically bought a $350,000, $400,000 house. There's none available right now. They come on the market, they're gone in a day. And they're getting outbid. I just had on a 270 in way western New Jersey. I'm going to say what town it was. They had it listed at 270. They had 49 offers and it went over 350. That's above what people can afford to spend. And somehow they say, okay, we'll do it. They'll approve it. We'll make more money next year. Well, then they're not in a restaurant. They're not going on vacation. And they're not putting money away for a rainy day and they're using a credit card and it's a trap. What happens is eventually we bring the interest rates down, and that has to start with the Fed rate cuts. And I don't see a Fed rate coming before midsummer, if election day even. But
hey, Joe,
by the end of the year, them starting to bring it down and interest coming down. And then eventually this pent-up demand will take over. Doesn't mean the prices are going to come down, but it means it's more affordable. And interest is the largest section of your payment.
So, Joe, I hear certain people who own multiple properties are getting these phone calls and letters sent to them that, hey, are you interested in selling your property? We're right. buying other homes in a neighborhood and we right. want to make you an offer. What the heck is the deal with that?
Well, I'll give you a good example. I just listed a house that's not on the market yet because they've not finished cleaning it out. Mom passed and the kids are cleaning it out. And they say they're getting 2 to 3 people a day knocking on the front door saying, are you willing to sell the house? And how are they finding this? Well, they're getting creative. They're going through the death records. They're finding out where these people that died lived and are looking to see if the house is on the market. Since there's so little inventory, people and agents and artificial intelligence helps things a little bit too, because we now can do things we couldn't do before, are able to figure out who's most likely to sell a house and they're attacking them first. In my case, as a listing agent, my perfect customer would be somebody's above 60 years old, that's been in the house more than 5 years and hasn't touched a mortgage, hasn't taken any money out. And the kids are, now, why is that the perfect customer? Well, one, the kids are gone. 2/3 of all the houses in New Jersey have no children in them. Two, they've got 50% equity in the house, if not more. If they've been in it 10 years, they've probably got 3/4 equity in the house because the prices went up almost 50% over the last 4 years. They're very likely to sell a house, but if they're in a 3% mortgage and they have to go to a 7% mortgage, they're saying, I'm not doing that. That's going to take all my profit away. Well, there's creative ways to get them financing so they can use their equity to buy the new house and then sell the old house and they can own it for cash. And a third of all our business right now is cash. It's always been high and we're seeing more and more. The other 2/3 of the business where people are taking out mortgages. And it's two types of buyers. There's first-time buyers. They're almost priced out of the market. A house that used to cost $1,800 a month is now over $3,000 a month. And they're saying, I can't even qualify. I don't make enough using those percentages to qualify. And the second market are people who sell one house and buy another. And they're what we used to call right-sizing. But there are people where the kids are gone and they're a big 4,000 square foot house on 3 acres. And they're saying, maybe I'll get into a townhouse and not have to do any maintenance and go enjoy life a little bit. They're not going to do it till the interest rate drops. And when the interest rate gets down below 6%, right now we're about 7% this morning. I think we're going to hit a flashpoint. The logjam is going to break. And all of this people who wouldn't put their house on the market are going to say, look, I can creatively use my equity and get into that house without paying that kind of an interest.
Well, just to let you know, we're talking to Joe Peters, jpeters.com. That's one phone number for him you see on the screen. And no, he does not sell goldfish. He sells houses. You can see the goldfish out there. But
you can see on the bottom, the goldfish sort of represent my first-time buyer, my trading up, my right side.
I know. What if I buy a goldfish and I want to trade up to a bigger fish, you know, or a turtle? But that's another side gig you can jump into. Selling goldfish, you know, it's a good thing to have there.
Marilyn's mom grew up in Irvington, and they would go to the store and buy a what was the kind of fresh fish they sold in the store before we had trout? And they were a form of a carp. And they would, she said they would kill the carp in front of her and dress it and whatever. And she'd take the carp home and make it. So it's a big carp is a big goldfish, but whatever. It's another story.
Well, that the carp is a European thing, I think. Yeah. Christmas time. I'm Polish. I was born there. So, you know, the carp is like kind of sacred to that connection.
Yeah,
represents.
You know, your background's
Polish. Yeah, so that's where that comes from. All right. So let's forget about 2023. It's gone. 2024. What do we see in reality for the next 6 months or?
I interviewed Jim Hughes. If you look at my podcast channel, he's the head of the Rutgers Business School. I'm trying to get the name of the school, but he's the dean emeritus. He's retired and able to do what he likes to do, which is watch population trends in New Jersey. And I asked him at the end of the interview, what are we going to see in 24 versus what we saw in 2023? And he says, we're going to look exactly the same. Interest rates aren't coming down and prices are still going up. What's changing? We're not building new houses, and we've got two things happening at once. We have the graying of America, where for the first time we have more people in New Jersey over 55 than under 25, and we have less and less children coming at us because of a lot of things. People are having less kids today than they used to, and we've got about another 2 or 3 years of first-time buyer business, and it's going to be more not first-time buyers, and that changes the whole complexion of the market. So you need to find a house that suits your needs. And sometimes people say to me, well, what can I do that? And there's a couple of things that are coming up as new trends. One is maybe expand your territory. You don't have to drive to work anymore. So maybe living in a very popular town like Bridgewater, and it's a great town. I do a lot of business in Bridgewater. But maybe if you went another 10 miles and got out to like the Clinton Township area or even further into Hunterdon County, you can find something that's affordable. But I got to tell you, there's other people have figured it out already. They're here and they're looking and they're buying them the day it comes on the market. But so moving a little further in your territory is one. Secondly, is looking at multi-generational housing. That's starting to get to be a big thing. It's always been big on our immigration front, where people moving in may have. I know when I sell certain ethnicities house, there's always some room for grandma because she's not going to be living on her own forever. And when she moves in, we're going to need a place. And maybe the kids come back and live for a while. So you got multi-generational housing. And then you've got multi-housing lots. So you're starting to get some people looking at, hey, I do have 3 acres. Could I put another building up and let my kids live on the other corner of the lot? Well, most towns don't want that.
No.
But most towns do need more tax rateable, so they're becoming more amenable to it.
Wow. So let's say quickly summarize, you're selling your house, what you should do, you're buying the house, what you need to do to get ready to move into the house as quickly as possible, especially if you're selling the house and you had a quick sale, like you said, and suddenly you're like, uh-oh, I got no place to move.
House with no place to move. Then you get into a desperate spot and you're going to have to pay more because you need to get out not to lose the deal. So you have to first of identify where you're going to go. First of all, there were a lot of summer homes and whatever. Some people leave in the States, always been going on. Mm-hmm. New Jersey's probably the second or third largest outbound immigration. But if you got to have a plan for selling the house, you got to have an idea of what you're going to do before you put the house on the market. For example, the house that I'm working on today, we're going to clean it out so you can, there's too much clutter in it. We're also going to fix a few things that are apparently going to need to be fixed, but we're not going to fix it. We're not going to redo the kitchens or bathrooms. People won't like what you do anyway. Give them a good price and they'll redo it. So that's on the seller side. On the buyer side, what you've got to do is to be a little more open-minded maybe than you are. First of all, there's a course I missed when I was in high school, where when you get out of high school and college, you know everything. Somehow I missed that course. You got to start understanding you really don't know everything. You know a lot, you're smart, but the people who are the smartest are listening to people who've been through it before. They call that wisdom, and understanding from them what they need to do. And what first-time buyers need to do, who are probably thinking of a white picket fence on at least a quarter of an acre and somewhere I can walk to town, you might want to think about townhouses to start with, or even condos. You know, get a foothold, build some equity up, and when the market's a little better a year or two out when interest rates are down, maybe then make a second move. I'll give you a great example. Look at Somerville itself. I've interviewed on my podcast the mayor of Somerville, Dennis Sullivan. I think his term ended the end of next year, but they must have several thousand new rentals in Somerville. And he's saying, we don't have them for sale. They're only for rent. And they're actually bringing people into the area that may be living in Jersey City or even New York City. And then eventually in 2 years or so, they're going to be buying something, and they'll either buy in Somerville or the surrounding area because it's a great place to live. And people realize that very quickly. So,
no, I remember Somerville when it was great back in the 90s, I guess, 80s, 90s. You know, when the mall opened up, it kind of went down.
Yeah.
And then now it's a total new regeneration of you know, restaurants and cityscapes. And it's got the county seat, of course, there too, which helps. But it's just a whole different town now, different atmosphere, different things happening, a destination, basically.
The ethnicity has changed dramatically, and it's coming from the east to the west. Most of the market always starts in the east and then happens going west. I would say in Somerville and in Somerset County in general, we're nearing the 50% non-Caucasian mark, and we're nowhere near it in Hunterdon County. So if you move further out, it really hasn't got here. And if you move further east, it's higher. So even the chambers of commerce have Spanish divisions now. Most of the advertising and businesses, I knew one real estate agent who spoke Spanish, developed a Spanish-speaking mortgage person. They trained the Spanish to understand what they have to do banking-wise, because a lot of people coming in from other ethnicities aren't used to putting money in banks. They put it elsewhere. You've got to have some financial history. So we're starting to see cultural changes, and Somerville is such a great example of it. You can't walk down a street block in Somerville downtown and not see 10 different ethnic restaurants. It's a great place. There's a Portuguese place. There's an Italian place. There's a Mexican place. There's an Indian place. It's great, and people love it. People love it. It's going to be our culture of the future.
I got to tell you, Joe, you know, I went to Rutgers University, and then right across, diagonally across from a post office, there's a little restaurant there now. Division Street is closed. Traffic, which is a wonderful thing. There's a restaurant there, but that was the very first television studio in the area, Cross Country Cable at the time. Wow. So I tell you, I watched the launch of CNN, MTV there. Something crazy no one thought would succeed. Who would watch weather 24 hours a day? The Weather Channel.
Right.
Which we know that still exists years later and popular. I guess they consider that people just watch the weather when they need to see the weather, not sit there and watch the clouds move. Although some people are good at that.
Our lifestyle has changed. We have this on-demand education. I mean, think about what you can. We were sitting watching the skiing a couple of years ago. I forget where the last Winter Olympics was, about 3 years ago. The summer's this year, so it must be 3 years ago. And I said, I wonder, they're saying the wind is strong. What is the wind in wherever it was, Japan? You look it up, you got it in 10 seconds. The wind's northeast from 14 miles.
Yeah.
No matter what you want, you can find it instantly. You don't need to go to an encyclopedia. Dennis, the mayor of Somerville, said, I was a brainiac. He said, back when we used to sell versions of the encyclopedia at the grocery store for 99 cents. I was there every Friday at noon when a new version came out, and I bought it for 99 cents. He says, somehow I missed the M through L versions because they were sold out, so I knew everything except if it started with an M through an L. That doesn't happen anymore. You just pick up your phone, you tap in five or six letters and figure out what you're talking about. You've got an AI built into your phone, and you've got the answer instantly.
No. All right, let's do the big... say that again? I didn't hear you.
It's instant gratification. And it's a little time-consuming because you could be taken way off course with that and waste a lot of time doing
it. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. But you don't waste any time when you listen to our podcast or you watch it because...
Sure. We try to keep it right on course.
As I say, we love it when you're listening, but if you want to see what both of us look like, how great, wonderful looking gentlemen we are, you can check out it on video version or just keep driving if you're listening, having fun. So the big question everyone's asking these days, the new potential, alleged, whatever, NAR agreement.
Yeah, so let me tell you what I know about it, because it's evolving. It's proposed, and I've seen what's proposed, and then it's going to have to be approved, and then it's going to have to be enacted upon. I think all of that takes to the first of the year. So for the next 3 to 4 months, at least, maybe 6 or 9, not much is going to change. But what's going to change is, in the past, you typically do, let's say you did a 6% listing agreement. You may say, okay, I'm going to give the listing agent 3%. I'm going to give the buying agent 3%. So the buying agent's commission was set at the time the house was listed. In the future, you're only going to set the listing agent side.
And say that again.
You'll only set the listing agent's side of the commission through their listing agent. And the buying agent commission is going to be negotiated somewhere along the line. Now, I think there's a lot to be determined there. And I think, in effect, there's room for newness and there's room for not the best decisions in the world. I think it becomes more expensive on the buyer side, potentially, because the seller side set a commission that was fair. It was widely accepted. And that was it. We didn't have to talk about it again. Now we have to talk about two negotiations, the price of the house and the price that the buyer is willing to pay, which they're going to have to negotiate with the buyer's agent, which we don't typically do in advance. We typically give them whatever to sell. That's what's changing. So without going any deeper, I think there's a lot of time and a lot of rules that need to be put into effect. It could make it a little more difficult for buyers, because if the buyer starts paying their own commission, can they finance that part of it? That's an open question I haven't heard an answer to yet.
Oh, my God. It's too overwhelming, too much stuff. That's why you got to have Joe Peters on your side, because he knows all this stuff.
After a while. And when your head starts hurting, let's say it's your car. All of a sudden, there's a clunk under the hood. Do you get under the car and look? I haven't a clue what that engine does. I go to somebody who's an expert. And when you start to get these decisions, your dental the same way, you got to go see a dentist, your doctor, this hurts. And when I do that, the doctor says, well, don't do that anymore. But, you know, anyway, you got to go to a specialist, and that's what a real estate agent is. Right now, there's seller agents and there's buyer agents, there's the school's dual agents if he sells and buys the house. That's going to change a little bit, and it's going to need to be understood. And the intent is...
Too many choices.
Yeah, the intent is to make it better, but somehow we all never make it better, do we?
No. There's many other cases like that for other podcasts. But it's jpeters.com, or you can call 908-304-4660. The number is on the screen there. Or if you want to get a goldfish or advice on buying what kind of goldfish, you can call Joe Peters, 908-238-0118. And I always ask this to everyone. I've asked you this before. So did you have fun today? What was this podcast like for you today?
Yeah, you're always fun to work with. And you're very good at organizing this and distributing and disseminating the information. So I appreciate you being able to take some time out of your busy schedule to help me with mine.
Thank you very much. JPeters.com is the place to go. Thanks again, Joe. And keep selling those houses and keep informing people about all the cool stuff about owning a home.
We're selling homes.
Thank you. Bye.